Church, we're so happy that you're here with us today. Let's get ready and worship our Lord. the only one who can do the impossible. Lord, we welcome your presence in here. Your name is so great. It's the name above every name. We praise you, Lord. To the darkness.
Oh, come on, just put your name, put his name on your lips. Jesus, Jesus, I'm humbled to be here. God, you're nothing like I have ever tasted, like I've ever seen. The experiences that I have with you make everything else pale in comparison. Because you are the only one that satisfies me. And I will sing because of that promise. Because we are a chosen people, his royal priesthood, his holy nation, and his special possession, that we may declare the praises of him who brought us out of darkness and into his glorious light. That light is beyond anything I've ever seen, Father. Never take me away from that. Never turn your face from me, because I couldn't do life without it. I couldn't do life without you, Father. So give me more of you.
You can light it up. God of revival, pour it out, pour it out. Every stronghold will crumble. I hear the chains hit the ground. Oh, God of revival, pour it out. Oh, I hear the chains hitting the ground today. We're free. I'm free. Never going back. Never going back.
Yes, Lord, you are the God of revival. Nothing, no weapon formed against us will prosper, Lord, because of the blood that you poured over us through your cross, the sacrifice you paid. Lord, this is all for your glory. We praise your name. We love you. Amen. Oh, what an awesome time of worship.
We're glad that you've joined us this morning. Thank you so much for being with us in the sanctuary. We have some friends who are joining us out on the patio, and we want to welcome everybody that is worshiping with us via live stream. We're so glad that you've joined us today at Harvest Time Church. Didn't our worship team do a great job leading us this morning? Anika and Noah and Monet and the whole team, we're just so proud of them. They did a wonderful, wonderful job. Because of COVID, we are not going to receive an offering in the sanctuary this morning, but we do want to thank you for all your loving support of Harvest Time through this season. If you've brought an offering today, we have offering boxes at all the entrances, and you can drop that in one of the offering boxes on your way out. If you're watching via live stream today, you can give anytime to Harvest Time Church on htchurch.com. And we just thank you for remembering the tithe. We want to thank you for your giving to missions right now. You know, not only has it been just a miracle sustaining Harvest Time through the shutdown and through the reopening and through the summer, but many of our friends around the world that we support in missions are also suffering because of shutdowns in every part of the world. And so we've been doing a little bit extra. And, you know, actually I received, I don't even think I told Jeff and Christina this yet, but I received just a little email thank you from our denomination, the Assemblies of God. You know that in COVID year 2020, you know that we have given more and a substantial bit more to missions this year than we gave last year as a congregation. Isn't that an amazing thing? So we just want to thank you so much. Want to remind you that on Friday we kicked off 21 days of prayer and fasting. We had a great time at Fire in the Night this last Friday evening. We are meeting every morning at 7 o'clock for prayer here in the sanctuary. If you can't join us here in the sanctuary, we do have a prayer broadcast that goes out over our email. It's available on our YouTube channel, htchurch.tv. There's a daily prayer guide with some prayer points and some scriptures for you to look at every day. And if you're not on our email list and you'd like to join, you can stop at the Connect desk after the service today and get signed up for that and receive those. You're welcome to join us here live for prayer or on our YouTube channel. We'd love for you to just join with us in that. And then we want to let you know that this coming Saturday, there is a national prayer event in Washington, D.C. It's called The Return. It's going on all day Saturday, and we're going to be offering that via simulcast here on our campus. If you'd like to join us from 9 to 5 at any point in the day, if you'd like to drop by and spend a little time just participating in prayer for our country, you can do that this coming Saturday. I want to tell you, I believe with my whole heart what we sang, that the darkest night God can light up, that he is the God of revival. I refuse to believe that America is in the post-Christian era. We're just in the pre-revival era. And the Lord is already doing wonderful things. And I want to tell you, I just feel in my spirit that more things are yet to come. So we'd love for you to just partner with us in prayer throughout the week. And if you'd like to be part of that on Saturday, we welcome you as well. I want to invite you, if you have your Bibles, to turn with me to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. I want to talk to you a little bit about lit by Jesus. Lit by Jesus. 1 John chapter 1. I'm going to start reading in the first verse. John, the beloved disciple, writes in 1 John 1 and beginning in verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you might also have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him, and we declare to you, God is light. There is no darkness in him at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and we don't live in the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sins. That's an amazing verse of scripture right there. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But here's one of my favorite promises in the whole Bible. 1 John 1, 9. You know it. You could even say it with me. If you know it, say it with me. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to purify us or cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's talk about lit up by Jesus today. Harvest Time Church is here for three things. You can say them with me. We are here to help people believe, belong, and be light. Not belight, it's be light. We're here to help people believe. We're here to help people find faith in Jesus Christ. We're here to help people belong to the family of God. Life groups are the place for you to belong here at Harvest Time Church. This week we are launching 40 new life groups. Some of them are Bible study groups, some of them are prayer groups, some of them are freedom groups to help us find inner healing, some of them are groups just for friendship and fellowship. This coming Wednesday evening we are launching our groups. We're resuming our groups for boys and girls that have been on pause since mid-March. Thank you, Jesus, that we're back again. And I'm so grateful to our team of volunteers, our dream team that work with our boys and girls. Harvest Time Youth is also meeting on Wednesday. Pastor Nick is beginning a new Bible study on the Gospel of John on Wednesday evening. If you have never heard Pastor Nick teach, I want to tell you that we are absolutely so blessed by one of the finest Bible teachers around. At the end of today's service, if you're interested in knowing about life groups, you can stop by the Connect Desk and Pastor Anita will help you learn more about groups. The third reason that we're here is to help people be light. A long time before this sanctuary was ever built, when it was just a pile of dreams and a pile of sketches, the Lord kept showing me this picture in my spirit. I kept seeing this building completed, fully constructed and finished. And outside of this building, the darkness kept getting darker and darker and darker. It was a thick, black, murky darkness. But inside this building, I saw a light. And the light kept getting brighter and brighter and brighter. And I want to tell you, the color of the light was something heavenly. It was shimmering. It was shining. It was glowing. And it didn't just stay here. It became a beacon of light shining out into the darkness. I want to tell you, the Lord gave me that picture over and over again. And that picture was one reason I knew that God was going to help us build this building, even though it was really impossible through natural eyes. And here we are. To God be the glory. sure enough, we're living in a time when the darkness around us is getting darker and darker, but God has an answer for it. It's to make His light shine brighter and brighter in the world through us. And so I want to talk to you for a couple weeks about being light. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me won't walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Talked about what that means, that Jesus is the light of the world last week. But Jesus said something more, and that's what I want to talk about this week. Jesus said to us, to believers in Him, "Now you are the light of the world." The light that is Jesus, the light that emanates from Jesus, is now inside of us, and it emanates from us. There's a spiritual truth that I hope you'll capture and I hope you'll embrace with me today. When Jesus shines God's light on us, he doesn't merely illuminate us on the exterior, he actually ignites us on the interior. Jesus' light doesn't merely inform us about God and about ourselves in relationship to God. His light also radically transforms us. His light transforms us into the image of God. Anybody else ever, when you were a kid, play outside with a magnifying glass? So when we were kids, we used to explore the world outside with magnifying glasses. We loved to pick up leaves and bugs and whatever it was that we could find and take a closer look through the magnifying glass. And then one day, we discovered something absolutely amazing about magnifying glasses. They can light things on fire. You know, forget about boring old inspecting things on the outside when you can light them up from the inside out. And can I tell you, that's exactly what Jesus is. He's like a magnifying glass. All around us, there is the light of what is called general revelation in the creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. Creation just speaks of God. How did all this get here? It's illogical completely that it could have just landed here and happened all by chance. There is a general light of revelation in the creation, and then there is special revelation in the Bible, the Word of God, the law of God that reveals His righteousness. Maybe we could compare that to the sun. There's the light, diffused light. There is a source of light. But Jesus is like a magnifying glass. He takes all of that light and He centralizes it into a beam that has intense power to supernaturally transform us. Jesus takes all that light and He focuses it on us, and it affects a change inside of us. St. Paul wrote, "You were once darkness, but now you have become light in the Lord." King David wrote, "Lord, you have lit my lamp. You have turned the darkness inside of me into light." What happens when we get lit by Jesus? I want to share a couple quick thoughts with you. On your way in, you might have received an outline of today's sermon, and if you like, you can watch the screens, fill in the blanks, follow along. What happens if you're watching by live stream? There's a link to a PDF in the chat section. You can download an outline of today's sermon, follow along. What happens when we get lit by Jesus? Here's one thought. When we get lit by Jesus, we experience God's inspiring presence. We experience His presence. By the time John, the beloved disciple, wrote 1 John, he was well advanced in years. But what I want you to notice with me is that the passing of time did not diminish for John the wonder and the awe of his encounter with Jesus. Writing these opening lines, when John closed his eyes as an old man, it was as if he had just been with Jesus on the shores of Galilee yesterday. His words are really swelling with emotion. The one who already was in the beginning, the one who is eternal, the one who was never created, the one who is called the Ancient of Days, the Alpha, the beginning of everything, that very one has stepped out of eternity and he stepped into human history. We heard him with our own ears. We saw him with our own eyes. We scrutinized him carefully. We touched him with our own hands. After he rose from the dead, we examined him. We put our fingers in his wounds. I'm here to tell you that I have seen the living God and my life has never been the same. As an elderly man, John still marveled at Jesus. John's heart was still thrilled by Jesus. His mind was still captivated by Jesus. He was still moved by Jesus. For him, it was all about always only Jesus. If you've had an encounter with him in your life, I wonder if you feel the same way. I wonder if you feel like John felt, no matter whether it's been a year or 10 years or 20 years. I wonder if the freshness of that encounter with Jesus still overwhelms you every time you think about it. I met Jesus when I was an 8-year-old boy. Like most American families back then, our family were churchgoers. I like to say that we were God-fearing people more or less, more on Sundays and less the other 6 days of the week. And then one special night, we went to a Tuesday night service at a little church that was radically different from the one we attended. I don't really remember what I understood. I don't know what I didn't understand. All I remember is that I wanted what I saw those people had, because it was the most joyful place that I had ever been in my life. Honestly, the thought that went through my head when I walked through the door was, this must be what heaven sounds like, because it is so joyful. Can I tell you, over the years, I've had folks come to Harvest Time. We've had new friends come and join us, and they said, Pastor Glenn, when we first walked in the door and we looked around and we saw such an unbelievable diversity of people together in one place from all walks of life and all backgrounds. If you knew our congregation, God's literally gathered us from all around the world. And they've said to me, when I saw all those people worshiping in one place, I said to myself, this must be what heaven is like. I love that, because that was my first impression. When I crawled into bed that night, I prayed a simple prayer. This is exactly what I said, word for word. I just said, God, I want everything you have for me. What happened next changed my whole life. The presence of the Lord came into my room. The only way I can describe it to you is that it was like a very warm, heavy weight, like a warm, heavy blanket pushing down on me. It wasn't frightening. It wasn't uncomfortable. In fact, it was so beautiful, I didn't want it to go away. I remember lying there very, very still, because I thought if I moved, it would lift and go away. And I didn't want it to go away. I wanted it to stay. That was 46 years ago. And I testify to you this morning that I have felt God's presence with me every day of my life from that day until this day. I feel the fire of God inside of me. I feel secure in his loving care. I feel capable in his strength. I feel confident in his guiding wisdom. I feel forgiven in his mercy. I feel accepted in his love and his grace. I want to tell you something from the bottom of my heart, and it's absolutely true. 46 years later, Jesus still inspires me. He still thrills my heart. He still captivates my mind. He still motivates me. He's still the focus of my life. I want to tell you the truth. The church was shut down for 12 weeks this year, but I was here every Sunday, and I'd be here every Sunday whether nobody would come and join me, because I have to come and give praise and honor and glory to the one who changed my whole life. I can't help myself. I'm thrilled by Jesus. That was my experience. Everybody's experience is different. It's special. It's unique. But here's what I can tell you. There's a divine moment when the light of Jesus shines in your heart. Usually happens when someone is talking about Jesus, like I am now. And in that moment, God sends the gift of saving faith into your heart. And after that, everything changes. Something that was dead comes alive inside of you. A flame is ignited in your heart. You feel God's peace. You feel God's joy. You feel relief. You feel like the weight of the world is lifted off of your shoulders. You feel secure in His love. I want to speak to somebody listening today. If you have never experienced Jesus like that, I want to tell you, you can. Your moment of encounter with Jesus will most certainly be different than my moment of encounter, but I'll tell you what, you can use my prayer if you want to. It's not copyrighted, it's not trademarked. All you need to do is whisper from your heart, God, I want everything you have for me, and watch what He does in your life. What happens when we get lit by Jesus? We experience God's presence. Here's another thought. When we get lit by Jesus, we become pure. We become pure. God is light reveals something critical about the essence of God. It speaks of the purity of God's nature. It speaks of the purity of God's character and His conduct. Light is a universal symbol for truth and wisdom and virtue and fidelity and purity. God is light. There is no darkness in Him at all. God is always wise. He's always truthful. He's always good. He's always faithful. He's always pure. And that never, ever changes about God. It's impossible for God to do wrong. It's impossible for God to make a mistake. It is impossible for God to be unjust. The truth that God is light is both wonderful and awful at the same time. It's wonderful to know that someone like Him exists, the perfection of goodness. You know, I've discovered going through life that people change. And they don't always change for the better. Their disposition towards us changes. Kindness turns into cruelty. Those who were our friend one moment are our friend no longer. What a comfort to know that there is one who never, ever changes. He is always good. There is one who is always faithful, who is always just. That's a wonderful truth. Listen, don't ever, this is for somebody, don't ever, ever withhold praise from a good God because a flawed man failed you. He is always good. The rest of us, not so much. And that's what makes the truth that God is light awful. Because it makes it clear that I am not light. God is light. In Him is no darkness at all. But when He shines on me, it turns out I'm full of darkness. That's why people reacted to Jesus the way they did and the way they still do. Jesus' beautiful life, Jesus' heavenly teaching exposes the darkness in us. Jesus said, people run away from my light because their deeds are sinful. You know, comparing ourselves to one another, we really didn't look all that bad until He showed up, and then He made all of us look bad. When the prophet Isaiah had a close-up encounter with God, he said, "Woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips, living among people of unclean lips." Good thing he didn't live in 2020. Okay, I pray. I was about to say something. I pray every Sunday. I pray. There's two things I pray before I leave my office. The first is, Lord, let every person hear a word from you. The second is, don't let me say anything I shouldn't say. I almost said something I shouldn't say. I'm going to move on with my notes. On a fishing boat, when St. Peter realized who it was that was standing in front of him, he fell down on his knees and he said, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." His light, it can become a source of discomfort to us. But I'm so thankful Jesus doesn't leave us there, because his light does more than just expose our misdeeds and our shortcomings. His light purifies us. Jesus came into the world not only to show us what God is like and what we're like, but he came into the world to offer his life as an atoning sacrifice on the cross. Jesus took my place and your place, and he paid in full the penalty that was due for our sins in his own precious blood. And when that light shines on us and exposes us, if we'll only admit our need for him, if we'll only admit that there's darkness in us, if we'll only confess our sins and ask God to forgive us, then the blood of Jesus is applied personally to us. And not only are we forgiven, but the stain of sin is removed from us entirely. What an amazing thing. Shame and guilt and hurt and brokenness and damage to our souls. Soul, it is lifted off of us and it's taken away. And in his light, our living dramatically changes. Does that mean I never blow it? Oh, how I wish. I don't want to blow it, but sometimes I do. And when I do, if I confess my sins to my Father, he is faithful and just to forgive me. And once again, the blood of Jesus purifies me. When I was a kid, I remember going to the dentist, and do you remember in the chair looking up and that huge light over your head? You know, that dentist light, the dentist used that to expose any problems and to deal with it. The light couldn't fix the problems. The light just revealed the problems. Now, I went to the dentist, and he uses a laser, and the laser actually can treat the damage. The laser can actually remove stains from your teeth. The light actually has the ability to bring health and healing. That's just like Jesus. His light doesn't merely expose sin's damage in our life. His light is able to fix it. What happens when we get lit by Jesus? We experience God's presence. We become pure. We enjoy partnership. We enjoy partnership. John said, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Faith in Jesus brings us into a new relationship with God. It also brings us into a new kind of relationship with one another. That word translated fellowship in John 1:1 means partnership. We are partners together. We are equally invested in something valuable. We are shareholders in a common venture. I want to tell you this morning that the church is unlike any other institution. It's unlike any other organization or group or club on earth. Other things might not be essential. I want to tell you the church is essential. It is always essential. It will always be essential. We're unique because we have been brought together and we are being held together by something supernatural. When Jesus hung on the cross with the weight of the sins of the world on his shoulders, he formed a new family. It started with his mother, Mary, his earthly mother, Mary, and with John, the beloved disciple. John and Mary were two people who were equally matched in their love for Jesus. Jesus charged John and Mary to become a family and to take care of each other. added to that family were a handful of other disciples gathered there at the foot of the cross. And John says that when Jesus breathed his last, he tilted his head downward and he breathed out his spirit upon that new little family. After Jesus rose from the dead, he breathed the Holy Spirit on the remaining disciples and he incorporated them into this new family. And then on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit blew through the upper room, the breath of God, and 120 were incorporated into the family that morning. And by the end of the day, there were 3,000 incorporated into the family. I want to tell you something. 2,000 years later, that family is still alive and well, and we are a part of it. I want to tell you, church, we are the unique product of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit called us into the body of Christ. He baptized us into membership in the body of Christ. He placed us exactly where we're supposed to be in the body. He has knitted us together with fellow believers, and he holds us in place in the body. We are something super extraordinary, extraordinary, supernatural. We are something different in the world. And I want to tell you something, more than ever before, we need each other. And more than ever before, the world needs the light that is generated from our partnership. The Lord showed me something long ago, and the picture is now here. The building is standing. It's completed. It's finished. And the darkness outside is getting darker and darker and darker. But in this place, through our partnership with one another, God wants to generate a holy light that is shining brighter and brighter. And it doesn't just stay in here. It emanates outward from here. Jesus' light shines and it shines and it shines and it shines and it shines in the darkness. And the darkness cannot overcome it. Listen, as we come to the close of 2020, let's resolve in our hearts that we are not going to allow anything to separate us nor keep us apart. COVID has made it necessary for some of our precious HTC family members who are at risk to stay home for a little while longer, but let's not allow COVID to separate us. Let's not allow social injustice or social unrest to separate us or keep us apart. Let's not allow the elections to separate us or keep us apart. Jesus said we have to do the work of the one who sent us while there's still time, because the night is coming upon us. Listen. While this unity is getting darker and darker out there, let us partner together for unity to shine brighter and brighter in here. While racial tension is getting darker and darker out there, let's partner together for harmony in Christ to shine brighter and brighter in here. In Christ, you are all children of God. You have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, nor slave nor free, nor male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. While resentment and hostility and malice are getting darker and darker out there, let's partner together for forgiveness and gentleness and love to shine brighter and brighter in here. And listen, if somebody says something stupid in the next 2 months, just forgive them, especially if it's me. When we all get to heaven, we're going to find out you were right about everything. In the meantime, let's just love on each other. What happens when we get lit by Jesus? Let's finish it up. God's presence, we become pure. We enter into a new partnership. Finally, this worship team, rescue me. When we get lit up by Jesus, we discover our purpose. We discover our purpose. As the light of the world, Jesus saves us from an aimless life. Just like the pillar of fire led the children of Israel through the wilderness, Jesus leads us through life with purpose, and he leads us towards a meaningful destination. As an old man, John wrote in verse 4 of 1 John 1, I've discovered what makes my joy complete. It's helping others find Jesus. Listen to me, listen. There is nothing more satisfying you could ever do with your life than to partner with other believers to lead people into a transforming experience with Jesus. Here's what I know. I know that somebody is about to have that kind of heart-thrilling, mind-captivating, life-changing encounter with Jesus that I had as an 8-year-old boy, that John had as a young man, and it's going to happen because literally hundreds and hundreds of people here have partnered together to make it possible. There's nothing more satisfying we could do with our lives than to lead others into the freedom of the purity that only Jesus brings. John wrote, "This is what makes our joy complete." On Wednesday evening, October 7th, we're beginning a new experience again called Discovery Track. Discovery Track is a 4-week experience that's designed to help you discover your purpose and then start working in partnership with others to fulfill that purpose. It's 4 Wednesday evenings in October, 7 p.m. I'm going to be leading it, and if you're interested in joining us, you can stop by the Connect desk and see Pastor Anita about it. Jesus doesn't just shine on our exterior. Jesus lights us up with God's presence, with purity. He puts us in partnership, and he gives us purpose. Would you stand on your feet and give Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, a great big praise in this place? Come on, don't give him a wimpy little praise. Oh, we can do better than that. Come on, let's give him a good praise in this place today. Come on, listen. We're gonna sing it. We're gonna sing it. I want you to make this a declaration. You know what? The Bible says in the last days, terrible times will come. We know that, but God has the last word on the last days. God says, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. He says, the glory of the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. That's what I'm going for right there. So we're gonna sing that, what we were singing during worship. All the earth will shout your praise. And I want you to sing it as a declaration, because it's true. There is a day coming when Jesus is going to split the sky. Every eye will behold him. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess he is Lord. So come on, let's just make a declaration of that day. All the earth will shout your praise. I want you to lift up your voice. Let's sing it.
All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing.
Says the light came into the world, Jesus, and the world, though the world was made by him, the world didn't recognize him. came to his own and his own didn't receive him. But this is what it says: to as many as did receive him, to those who believed on his name, he gave the power to become children of God. The way we respond to the message of Jesus is with a prayer of believing. My prayer was simply, God, I want everything you have for me. If you've never prayed a prayer of believing before, I would love to lead you in one today. Right where you're standing in your seat, not going to embarrass you in any way, I'm just going to ask you to say a prayer with me. I wonder if there's someone here and maybe you prayed a prayer of believing a long time ago, but a lot of water has gone under the bridge since then, and you need to pray it for the first time in a long time. Well, heads are bowed in this place. Not going to ask you to do anything else but to say a prayer aloud with me. If you'd like to pray that prayer with me for the first time or for the first time in a long time, would you just lift your hands right where you're standing? Would you lift your hands so I can see it? Come on, there's one, there's two, there's three, there's four, five, six, seven, eight. Someone else, you'd like to pray a prayer of believing with me for the first time? There's another, or maybe the first time in a long time. Someone else, you'd like to pray a prayer? There's another. You'd like to pray a prayer of believing with us for the first time? There's another one for the first time in a long time. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to ask everyone, if you're willing, would you lift your hands with me? And I'm going to lead us in a prayer, and I want to invite everybody who's willing to join us in saying a prayer of believing in Jesus today. I'll lead. I want you to follow in a nice, clear voice. Let's pray together. Father, oh, I know you can do better. Father, thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending your only son. Jesus, you are the light of the world. You lived a sinless life for me. You died on the cross for me. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you rose from the dead. I confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. Jesus, you are light. I am not. Come expose my misdeeds. Forgive my sins. Cleanse me. Make me a new person. Jesus, I want everything you have for me. I confess you now as my Lord and the leader of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, would you give the Lord a great big praise in this place today? All right, here's what I want to do. If you prayed that prayer for the first time or the first time in a long time, as soon as we dismiss, I want to invite you to come forward. Our pastors are going to be right here. We want to just quickly pray a prayer of blessing over you. We just want to celebrate the decision that you've just made for Jesus. I want us to sing one more time, and I want you to make it a declaration of what God is about to do. All the earth will shout your name. Great are you, Lord. I want you to make it a roar, and after you've sung, you can be dismissed. I'll put my mask on. I'll greet you out front. God bless you.